And on the phone right now, we've got Spike from the Homeless Persons Union Victoria. And, yeah, welcome, Spike.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Pretty good. So could you tell us a bit? There's a rally coming up on Saturday about the Mayor of Melbourne trying to kick homeless people out of the CBD.
The rally's in response to, well, as you said, the Mayor's thought bubble, Graham Ashton's speeches to the public, basically, Brendan Noddle. I mean, we have a situation in this state where there seems to be this cabal of faith-based organisations, a couple of the sector organisations, like Launch, and unfortunately the Council of Homeless People, the police, getting together and deciding what's good for people who are finding that they can't stay for whatever reason, for whether they have health reasons or domestic violence or, people that are homeless, it's a complex issue. For whatever reason, they can't stay where they're living. They've decided to stay somewhere that's safe, that's visible, that has access to toilets. Because another thing that we don't have in this state is access to public amenities. And so this is a safe place. We know that Mouse got stabbed in a place that wasn't well lit and that wasn't visible to the public. These people have decided to stay somewhere where they're safe with other people. And the mayor and the police commissioner have gone out and spoken about them as if they were dirty, as if they needed to be cleaned up, as if the streets were somehow stained. And that's just unacceptable. And we believe that as a community and as, people of conscience, that it's up to us to challenge those concepts and that prevailing sort of, biased and condescending attitude.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. The thing that really sticks out to me is that there's all these policies that result in people being homeless, like housing prices. I got a friend on social media and they were saying, this person has kids and they're saying, we're trying to get a house and we can't get a house unless we pay 2 months rent in advance plus
that's
bond,
right.
Which is in their case is like $5,000. And that's a pretty standard amount everything's really expensive at the moment. And so you have really unaffordable housing, you have other issues that lead to homelessness, and then you have scumbags like the mayor treating homelessness as like it's a choice, like people choose to be homeless and go and get off our streets.
What you've pointed out is something that clearly pointed out is something that it seems the public has a real difficulty grasping, is that, we have, we've just had a Royal Commission into Family Violence. Last year, there was two women a week that were dying at the hands of a partner, of an aggressive partner. You've just pointed out unaffordable housing at the rates of unaffordable housing, and someone, I think it was Anglicare, did some sort of report in the last 6 months that pointed out that 0.8% of houses on the private market are affordable to people on benefits, less than 1%. So we have this situation where the family is the biggest source of violence, is the biggest place where there's violence. Houses are unaffordable. Where do these people believe the children of these families or members of these families that can't afford housing or are living in unstable conditions, where are they supposed to go? Where are they going to move them to? It's like we know these facts and we separate them. It's like we can't join the dots and say, well, hang on, there's violence in the home. Housing's unaffordable. Homeless is a natural manifestation of these things. And it seems like for these highfalutin people that they just don't understand it.
Were you going to say something?
Well, I just like what you said before, that I've noticed when talking to people about the issue of homelessness and talking to people about the issue of the declining number of women becoming increasingly homeless, yep, because fleeing domestic violence, that people's line and often thought of it is that, oh, well, homelessness is a choice.
Oh, God.
And it's such a baffling thing to me, because I think, how is homelessness a choice? Who wants to be homeless? No one. And it's the system we live under that forces people to become homeless. And it's stunning to me that people can't see that how anyone would choose an unsafe, you know, sleeping on the streets, and how anyone would think that moving homeless people to unsafe areas of the city is a choice that they've made. It stuns me. I can't understand it.
One choice that they have made is this, and this is another threat that's been made, that because he prevaricates Brendan Boyle, or model, the mayor of... I've forgotten his name. Doyle. He changed it from... He changed his position from, they're going to change the bylaws to make rough sleeping illegal, which is... It's basically, you know... It's sort of like a Soviet, well, homelessness doesn't exist because everyone that's homeless is in jail. If you refuse to accept support from support services, that you'll be moved on. Now, as someone, I work part-time in community services, there's no way in the bloody world you can work with someone with a sanction of prison or moving them on over their head. It makes it impossible for that to even be considered by someone who claims to have an understanding of... I mean, he was going to be premier almost at one stage, that nut. It's beyond belief. And so, you know, and what they were offered was a rooming house or crisis accom. Again, faith-based organisations who pay no tax. They're subsidised by our tax dollars, and these people that are living at Flinders Street also pay tax. They pay GST on every time they buy cigarettes, bread, everything that's processed, people pay tax on. So their taxpayers are being moved on by faith-based organisations who pay no bloody tax. And then are forced to pay $230 a week to live in crisis accom, where they're sharing a toilet, shower and a kitchen with 18 other people. Or that they feel unsafe around, they don't know who they're living with. And unfortunately, we have a situation in this state where the supposed fourth estate won't do its job. And when they describe the offers, they won't describe what these offers are. No one, anyone that's lived in a rooming house or crisis accom, and to be honest, I have, through my experience, you would not wish it on your... You would not live there unless... You know, you were really, really in dire straits, and you had absolutely no one. I mean, at least these people have each other. And if you've gone down there, you'll see that they've got a little plaque that says family. They feel safe together, and that's something that they have, is community. They feel safe together. They treat each other quite well, actually. Unfortunately, there's undercover police there, which is another issue that really rankles, you know. When we went down there to speak to him, we noticed there was this guy with Bermuda shorts and $300 sunglasses. It just happened to be sitting at the bus stop, and he just kept staring at us as we were doing interviews with these guys. And I pointed out, you know, who is this person? They go, look, just ignore him. 2 days later in the newspaper, they know, and a couple of them admitted that they did have somewhere else to go, but they didn't feel safe there. And that was in the paper. And so we've invested in spying on vulnerable, disadvantaged young people.
To try and get some dirt or something that will justify our war on the poor.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's grubby. And on the front of the leaflet for the protest on Saturday, it says over 80,000 vacant homes.
That's right.
Is that in Melbourne or in Victoria?
That's in Victoria, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but they're not all public. Some are private. but that's a fact. That's something that we've concocted. That's a fact. Yeah, the water board's been able to gauge that from the use of people's water meters. They can tell if a house has been used, and there's 80,000 empty properties. There were 303 empty properties from the east-west link. That's why we were there at Bendigo Street, to try and highlight that. And at the last street count, there was 247 people sleeping rough in the city. If they were fair income about housing people in public housing, because all those properties were bought with public money, they could have housed them in 2 or 3 months. They do not want to house people. They just want to shove them into crisis to fill the coffers of these faith-based churches or whatever the bloody hell they are, or, these rooming house cowboys that are completely unregulated, that are charging, up to $200 a week, cockroach-infested rooms where no one feels safe. And, I'm going to repeat myself. It's just the media just doesn't do its job, and it's become the mouthpiece for the fucking ruling class, cabal on Spring Street and at South Bank down there. And people think it's not the age. Well, the age, I mean, let's face it, the newspapers aren't going to tell stories that undermine the political economy of the state that feeds their bank balance. And that's what's happening. They're not telling the truth. What they concentrate on is the individual who's homeless. Well, it's not just happening to one person. It's happening to 25. It's actually, someone was saying that that's probably a third. It's probably about 75,000 homeless people in this state. And there's systemic issues that lead to that. It's not just one-off. And so, unfortunately, we don't have... The media won't do its bloody job, and so it's up to the public to come together. Hopefully on Saturday at 2 o'clock, people from the public who won't accept being lied to constantly and will not accept the vilification of disadvantaged people will come and speak up and tell... Because this isn't just a HPU thing. This is about us as a community coming together and putting pressure on the Melbourne City Council and saying, hang on, you don't speak for us. You're speaking for vested interests. You're not speaking for the public of the Melbourne City Council. The City of Melbourne. You're speaking for the retailers. You're speaking for the tourism people. The City of Melbourne belongs to the people of Melbourne, and so I'm hoping that people will come and articulate their feelings on this issue.
And who have you got? Who have you got speaking there?
Well,
Or is there going to be a bit of a
good question?
Is it going to be an open mic sort of thing?
Yeah,
it will
be an open mic.
Yeah, cool.
Look, we've tried to get particular people, and I shouldn't mention their names because it's not fair. But people have had to turn down the offer because of their jobs, which is, it's like we're living in a police state that if they speak out, they're going to lose their seat at the table when these discussions are had. People that are actually quite well-intentioned, but, again, this comes back to people trying to keep their jobs, and people that are homeless don't have jobs, and it gets back... And begging thing is also something that we need to discuss. Making begging illegal, these are people that... A lot of homeless people don't have friends that have jobs that they can borrow money off. They don't have people, most people that work or in the sort of normie sort of life can say, mate, can you spot me $100 till next week or $10 till next payday? Or they can even go to the bank, or they can go to cash converters or pawnbrokers, and because they've got a wage, they can borrow money. So we have a situation where there's certain people in the business sector that can profit from people's unfortunate circumstances. But if you're homeless and you ask someone for $2 or, you put your head out for $2, that's somehow a crime. And so these are the things that we need to talk about and step back this principle of whether begging is a good or a bad thing. It's happening all the time. Pawnbrokers, cash converters, banks, loan money all the fucking time. Why shouldn't the public be able to help another member of the public? And so these are things that we need to discuss, I think.
For real. All right. Well, yeah, so everyone get along. Saturday 28th, this tomorrow at Melbourne Town Hall at 2 p.m.
That's right, mate.
Thanks heaps for talking to us, Spike. And yeah.
Thanks for giving me some time, man. I hope I haven't chewed your ear off.
No, it's great. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, good to see. Hopefully there's a real solid turnout tomorrow.